Hello from Delinea, and welcome to the show. If you've been enjoying the 401 Access Denied podcast, then make sure to like, follow, and subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. We'd love to hear from you. Join the discussion by leaving us a comment or a review on your platform of choice, or by emailing us at podcast@delinea.com. From all of us at Delinea, thank you, and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the 401 Access Denied podcast. I'm the host of the show, Joe Carson, Chief Security Scientist and Advisory CISO at Delinea. And we've got an awesome special edition show for you today. We've got a welcoming Art back to the show. I think this is your third time in the episode.
It is. So thank you very much.
Welcome. You want to give us a bit of background about you yourself, who you are, what you do, and some fun things about yourself.
So my name is Art Gilliland. Like you said, I'm the CEO of Delinea. My background is 25 years or so in the security space. I've worked at super tiny companies. I was actually the 12th person of a startup. I was pre-product CEO of a startup, and then also super huge companies like Symantec and HP, and ran the security businesses as the general manager of both those places. So almost every sort of, if you look at the CISSP 10 sort of domains of security, worked in every single one of them except for physical.
Unless you count
my time as a bouncer in college, which I don't. So
that counts, actually.
I've got them all.
Fantastic. So one of the things I wanted to kind of cover today is that, we've been in the identity space and so really looking at, what challenges have you seen organizations face when it comes to identity and where's the status and current kind of industry trends that you're seeing today? What is the state of identity security for organizations?
I mean, look, I think one of the things that's super exciting, at least for me personally, is I think identity security is becoming more relevant for companies. I think it's actually pretty new for companies, to be honest. Even though they've been dealing with identity management and identity historically, it's been very infrastructure-centric, not super security-centric. I think what's sort of brought it to the forefront, though, is just the shift in what's happening with people's infrastructure. And so if you think about the history of security just more broadly, so put security for identity aside for a second, just think about what's happened in the security market. As companies have moved a lot of their infrastructure to cloud, right? So more into Amazon and Azure, more into SaaS products. What's happened is a lot of the places where they used to put security policy, security controls, they don't own anymore. Right, so the networks they're renting from these other players, the applications they're renting from other players, the physical servers and systems they're renting from other players. And so now those players are basically saying, oh, I'm doing these security policies. But if I'm the company, I'm still responsible. I'm still accountable if something bad happens. And so what's sort of coming to the forefront for a lot of these organizations is the only place where they can really enforce policy today is on the things that they control, quote unquote, right? The user, whether that user is a human employee or a machine, like system that they own or a software thing that they are responsible for, and the data, right? And so the two most interesting parts of security in my mind today are the identity and identities and the security around identities and how you deal with that, and the data security side of the business. And so that's just created a lot of new challenges for companies that candidly they just hadn't thought about in that way. And that's, I think, part of the security, the evolution.
I've seen the same ever since, once that data, digital transformation to cloud started happening, and then things like BYOD, when people started bringing their own devices in that you don't control, you can't put anything on those devices. You have some limitation, you might be able to apply policies through things like MDM management. But then you get into a situation, what do you really still control? And it's the identities and access.
Right. And so that's, it's, I think, and the device that the user uses, obviously that oftentimes is still owned by the customer, or MDM if it's a personal device, like what we do for like cell phones and things like that. But I agree. I think part of what has accelerated the thinking about this, obviously COVID and mobile workers and people going home to work, the consumption of obviously cloud and SaaS, but also contractors, how many people are outsourcing different pieces and using that. And I think what they're experiencing today, and there was some research out there, like 98% of companies had an explosion or an increase in the number of identities they have to think about, right? And so you have your human identities, which are growing just because of contractors and whatever, But the real explosion is in these machine identities. Like,
yeah, the non-human. It's the
non-human connections, right? Mm-hmm. I use Salesforce, I connect it to Clary. Mm-hmm. Those two systems talk to each other and share a lot of pretty sensitive, important data for my company mm-hmm. together. I want to make sure those connections are secure so that someone doesn't try to steal my data. Yeah. Those are all identities that now I have to think about.
See, it's the API identities almost. So it's basically the glue behind the scenes. Even when you're connecting, I've seen organizations where they might be using EntroID for their IDP, and then they're using AWS for their business applications, and they're using lots of SaaS-based applications. And ultimately, what they're now trying to do is get visibility across all of those environments. And to get the point where, you know, if I'm syncing up roles and resources from one to the other, how do I know it's actually occurred correctly?
Yeah.
And do the same privileges exist across those?
Yeah.
And that's creating a lot of challenges. What in this situation, so with, you know, we're getting into this complexity and identities becoming very important for organizations. What's the challenges that organizations face? What's the risks that they're exposed to if they're not having that visibility, having to apply the right security controls and the auditability? What types of risks are they exposed to?
I mean, look, this is the, if you look at the sort of what's happening in the industry, like obviously there are a number of identities is growing, and so they they don't have control over them. They don't know where they are. They don't actually sometimes know what they are and how many they have. I think what you see then, just the what they're experiencing now, you know, 87% or so of companies have said that last year they experienced an identity related breach, meaning they broke in, or almost all of the breaches include some sort of privilege elevation.
I think all breaches have an identity related.
Right? The bad guys don't break in really anymore. They just log in.
Yeah, they go on the dark web. They buy a credential,
of course,
for $10, and then all of a sudden they validate it still works, and they log in.
Yeah, and they log in, and then they try to elevate privileges. I think the way I talk to customers today, or talk to folks today, when we're just in my conversations in general with CISOs, I think I break down identity in sort of three big major parts, right? And it's simple, but it works for the conversation. I think the first part of it is authentication.
Yes.
So I am Art and I can prove it. And there's a bunch of systems that do that. That's Active Directory, that's the Okta's, that's the Pings, all these companies out there. And also there's a lot of candidly bring your own kinds of ideas, like you know, Google, I log into Netflix using my Google account. And so there's a whole bunch of identities that are being brought to the organization, or third parties or contractor. And so that's one part of it. And so there's just a bunch of those types of things. That's authentication. The second is authorization. And this is, you know, what should Art be allowed to do? So I've proven I am Art. Mm-hmm. Now give me some rights. Tell me what my privileges are. And then the third one is governance. Mm-hmm. So tell me all the things that Art has access to. Help me check against that. Certify that it should have those. And so when you think about where the big problems are, for companies today, it's what's happening is there's a bunch of diversity that's happening on the authentication side, and you're letting other people attest to that. I think that diversity and that decentralization is going to continue. I think that's going to be very difficult for companies to get their hands around. Where they need to be spending their energy is the thing that they're actually going to still own, which is the policy enforcement of access to the things they care about, the privileges that they're distributing to the users, those human and machine users. And that's where this focus on an authorization or policy database is going to be super critical. And then what are the risks there? The risks are that you've over-provisioned or under-provisioned. The risks are that those accounts get compromised, and how do you make sure that the rights don't get delivered if there is? And so there's a policy structure around risk and risk scoring. Mm-hmm. And I think that is that's a big problem that a lot of customers haven't put their head around, because authentication is a very infrastructure-centric thing.
Yeah.
Authorization is a much more security-centric way to think about the business problem.
And I think it also allows organizations to move away from this very static type of security approach, where they're looking at setting these controls and hoping that nothing changes.
Yeah.
And moving to this kind of concept gets you to get into things like adaptive security, where it's risk-based. You can actually do things in real time, and starting to determine, well, what is the risk? And it sounds like we're actually really evolving. You know, we talked a bit about bring your own device, and we went then into the terms of bring your own office, and now we've got bring your own identity. And I completely agree with
you.
For me, I think that's definitely the place or the direction we're going. Me being based in Estonia, I've had the government ID system, which has actually really enabled, you know, where it is a government-issued identity, but I'm able to use that identity across multiple enterprises, you know, public and private. I can use the government-issued identity to access the banking system. I can use it to do tax returns. I can use it to interact with businesses. So what's happened is that you've really got a, and there's different levels of that identity in regards to risks, depending on what security controls have been satisfied. And from that experience, I do see that, you know, moving to where you've got lots of organizations out there who are providing an identity in some form. The question is that where's our mutual trust? Where's the trust that we have from those identities, and what how do you federate it exactly?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. If I'm again, this is a little bit of a rant about it. So if you look at the U.S., the U.S. is trying to move towards some of these government-centered, more proofed identities, right? Correct. So I have what's called Real ID on my driver's license. That is another level of sort of identity proofing that they make you go through when you get your driver's license. And there's a way then potentially to add a PIN, which would then maybe tie it even closer to me. And so someone couldn't steal my license and use it because they don't have the PIN. And so there is a way to sort of start to see that evolve in the US too. So it's not just, you know, Estonia and Brazil and some of these other places that have done sort of state-sponsored identity proofing. And so I think there's definitely that way. To seeing some of that sort of federated. And I think the problem that we see is who's the trusted center, right? And so if you look at what's happened in the marketplace, so Microsoft years ago, if you remember Passport, Microsoft Passport, that was their first attempt to create some sort of centralized federated identity that allowed you to access. Now, Facebook and Google have done a better job of it for consumer products.
Yep.
But Microsoft is a more trusted enterprise company. They potentially, with AD on Azure, could start to create that. I was actually super hopeful for Okta, to be honest, that they were one of the companies that could have created this federated identity, because enough companies trusted them for two-factor and single sign-on that maybe they become the central federated trust where I know our...
Which is multi-platform as well, because when you tie into the likes of, you know, Apple and Google, they're tied to their hardware devices. Microsoft's and Okta are kind of like the independents are separate.
And so I think there's some real interesting potential for that, which you actually don't need that much for identity security. What you really need that for is the information security. Yep. Because why is identity so critical, and why is when I think about the two things that are so interesting, it's actually the combination of users accessing information that the CISOs really care about.
Yep.
They don't care about firewalls. They don't care about this other stuff.
It's no longer about...
Those are all proxies for the thing they're trying to do, which is...
Those are the roads.
Data.
Those are the roads. You want to determine who is allowed to drive in the roads and what's allowed on that road. The rest is just infrastructure. It's just the highways of moving things around.
Right.
One of the things that I've noticed is there's a big emphasis in the EU right now on digital wallets. Yep. Which is right. The next phase is about now you've got a wallet that actually now contains all of these things, like whether it being your driver's license, it could be your passport, it could be visas, it could be different documents.
Digital currency.
And your currency, your wallets, and also identities as well, things like pass keys. And that really then starts getting the emphasis that, you know, identity is being federated, is being decentralized, and therefore organization will provide you a key. In order to access certain resources. What do you see, you know, the future of digital wallets becoming? Is that something that in the US is happening? Because I know right now it's a priority in the EU.
I have not seen it that much in the US, to be honest. I mean, obviously, Real ID is probably the closest thing we've come to centralizing that. I think it's probably more likely you'll see it in the commercial space. It's probably more likely, honestly, that somebody like Microsoft or others that are sort of more broadly trusted than the government in terms of being able to deliver efficiency and high availability and others would potentially do it. But there's not, there's too much state control. It'd be too complicated, in my opinion, to try to get it done effectively in the US. However, I do think it has a lot of potential to change the way companies do it. And so if we put ourselves in a world where there is that, right? So let's start looking internationally. Let's start looking at a world where there is this digital wall, this digital proof that I am Art.
Yep.
Now the only thing that companies actually are going to be able to manage is this authorization. So, okay, you've proven you are, and I trust your Art because it's been sort of attested to me either through a SAML token or some other thing. Now what should I allow you to do? And so then you, again, really zeroing in on that authorization policy database that says, okay, now I'm going to tie these policies, these rights to Art as an entity, and then let him interact with the systems I have. It'll interact with the data that I care about.
So in reality, what we're really seeing is identity is, you know, and we always say new, but I think it's been the perimeter for quite a long time. So identity is the perimeter and authorization is the security for that perimeter. It's the ability to provide the security controls and make sure that organizations have control over that.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. That's been talked about for the last 30 years since the Jericho Forum, that identity is going to be the new perimeter. And I think the world has moved far enough into that future that people believe it now. Your SaaS, look at Delinea as a company. Mm-hmm. We use Salesforce, we use NetSuite, we use Workday. So the core applications that run the heart of the company, I rent.
Yeah.
So I don't control the networks, I don't control the software, I don't control the physical infrastructure that they run on. Mm-hmm. All of the security of that is attested to me. Mm-hmm. And they're actually, they control the identity, like the login even on that. And so the only thing that I really set policy on is who should be allowed or not. And again, that's the authorization piece of it. And I think that reality that people are connecting in from outside my environment of those systems, mobile workforce, I've got contractors that do. Mm-hmm. I'm in charge of what they're allowed to do once they get in. And everything else is almost managed by those parties.
And that's where Keem comes in really important in that area. So you get visibility across all of those, because the problem is if you allow your employees to go directly accessing those, you start losing visibility over what controls are, and consistency as well. Because not all of those SaaS-based applications and platforms provide the same type of security controls.
Right.
And by putting something in front of it allows you to say, let's get consistency. Let's make sure you can provision and deprovision quickly when it's no longer needed. And you can also do the auditability and put things like multi-factor authentication or even stronger passwords and credentials than some of those systems might be able to take.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the policy. Again, this is the policy enforcement part of it. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the solutions that we're trying to bring to bear, a lot of it has to do with leveraging that authorization database to set policy. And so some of that is, can I create a secure connection to that system without a VPN? Can I make sure that that happens? Can I do that so the password is invisible and make sure that password gets rotated? So if somebody does actually compromise the user in some way, there's not that. I think you brought up Keem, which I think is interesting. This is the cloud and identity and entitlements management process. That is actually, in my opinion, just a feature of what should have been sort of this privilege anyway. It's essentially saying, look, I have all this other infrastructure that you're used to. Oh, and there's new infrastructure. And you see this happening a lot in security startups where there's a new gap that opens up because of invention, and a whole company comes in and says, I'm going to do that. But the customer's yeah, but that's just my new infrastructure. Why can't that be managed by this other thing? But the reason it is because big companies can't invest in inventing this whole new space because it's so small still, until it becomes more mainstream. Mm-hmm. And now it's mainstream, and so that's just a feature. It should be a feature of a larger product versus a standalone thing that you buy and customers have to manage. And that's what creates the complexity also for our customers, which is a pain.
So where do you see the future going? What's the next steps? What do you see over the next couple of years around things around identity security? And there's a lot of consolidation happening. There's a lot of kind of new kind of directions going as well. What's your vision? What's the future being hold?
So I talked about those sort of three big categories: authentication, authorization, governance. Look, I think what you're going to see is more diversification, more complication, bring your own, all that stuff in the authentication side. Mm-hmm. I think Microsoft and Google and Okta and those guys fight each other and try to figure out how to commoditize that space, and then bring your own comes in and throws a whole wrench in it. I think that's going to be complicated, and customers are going to have multiple of those. I think where you're going to see consolidation is around this authorization database. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? It means that there's going to be folks in the authorization sort of part of security, identity security, like us, that are going to double down on that. I also think governance has an authorization database, and so I think you will probably see more convergence there. It's part of the reason that we acquired a company called FastPath, or looking to acquire a company called FastPath. Which sort of bridges that and lets you refresh what's going on in the data store. Beyond just the sort of convergence of those capabilities, the other things that are coming to bear in identity is adding a lot more context into what's happening. So being able to scan the environment, find proactively threats in the identity, watching the behavior of somebody who's using the identity. So being able to do what essentially is IT threat detection and response. So ITDR is the market sort of name for it now. That context is going to be super important for managing security and security response. Direct connections, so being able to do VPN-less connection and sort of proxying that to the asset you care about. I think that asset will be applications and more it'll be applications and data in particular. And so you'll start to see the requirement to bring in more data context into it. And so now you're able to say, okay, Art Gilliland has this kind of risk score based on where he is and how he's proofed himself. Data has this level of risk to the enterprise. And then policy should be adaptive, like you talked about. Like, how do I make that? And I actually think that is the future of zero trust. That's where you start getting into true adaptive policy based on user and information interactions. And then you don't care about what infrastructure it is because you're creating the secure connection yourself. The user is proofed, continuously proofed. You're getting that connection. You're monitoring all the interaction. And you have a real clear sense of the data. To me, that's the holy grail. I think there's still some invention that has to happen to make that work effectively. But we're not that far away.
Yeah, it seems
it's not that far off.
It seems in grasp, but what it sounds like is like it's almost like we need some type of authorization containerization that just you can apply it to applications, to devices, to identities, to assets and resources that basically allows you rather than having
policy token
whatever. So rather than having to go through some process, you simply just tie it to the target assets.
And it's the hard part is the data side of it. I mean, I think this is, if you look at digital rights management today, the biggest challenge, to be honest, is this federated identity problem. Where is there a centralized place that does it? Because you can do digital rights management today relatively effectively with Microsoft as long as you're inside the same domain.
In the same stack.
You try to do cross domain and it's impossible. And so until you can do that sort of federated domain, federated identity, like digital rights management is kind of useless today. And so I think that, again, the technology is there to be able to do it. It's just, it's looking for companies like us or others to push,
to innovate and push the tie into it. Absolutely. Well, it's been fantastic having you on, as always. It's always great to chat with you. Any final kind of words of wisdom you would like to leave the audience into? Kind of, you know, it could be a dad joke, it could be something, but anything you would like to leave the audience with, something that's the takeaway from this?
Look, I think the biggest thing that I would say companies are struggling with right now is this explosion of identities and how to deal with that. And it is actually a political problem inside a lot of companies. And that political problem is that identity has historically been owned by the infrastructure and is about access and throughput.
Yes.
And I think the painful reality of the failure of that on the security posture and the ability to protect your data needs to be taken into consideration when you think about the org structure of where this stuff lives. And in fact, identity is now should be the domain of the security provider, the security entity within an organization. Because I think until you start thinking about identity as a security asset and a security control point, we will continue to lose as an industry to the adversary. And so that's something that's outside of the technology. That's completely political within a business.
It's a cultural side of things.
But it is a cultural shift within a lot of companies. And you see it happening. You see the identity infrastructure moving over to security. And now they own the directory and they own the access and they own the tools around it. That must happen. Otherwise, the security posture of most companies will continue to be. Yeah.
And we'll continue to see breaches after breach.
So. And we will lose continuously. Until we have a much more security-minded way of dealing with identity, we're going to lose. And so that would be the one thing I would leave with people.
Well, it's a, let's say it's a wise words that kind of for everyone to think about is that they need to be prioritizing this and they need to be thinking about what's their short-term strategy and long-term strategy in order to achieve this.
So, right.
But it's been fantastic having you on as always. And I really enjoy our channel.
Well, thank you
conversations.
Very much.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah. So for everyone, every 2 weeks, tune in to the 401 Access Denied podcast, always bringing you interesting conversations, latest news and trends. And everyone out there, stay safe, take care, and thank you very much. All the best.
This podcast is brought to you by Delinea, the number one privileged access management solution for enterprises with complex hybrid IT environments. You can get our free ebook, Privileged Access Management for Dummies, by visiting us at Delinea.com/PAM for Dummies. That's Delinea.com/PAM4Dummies. From all of us at Delinea, thanks for listening.